today on Life Talk.
Aloneness and loneliness are two different things. Loneliness is a state of mind where the fact that you are alone is really running a number on you, but you can be alone and not be lonely. Yeah, you can be in a school of 5,000 kids or a workplace with hundreds of employees and still feel lonely.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, lifetalkradio.us. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Life Talk.
One of the real tests of a wilderness experience is the test of loneliness. We're told that when Jesus was in the wilderness, he was alone. The Bible tells us that the wild beasts were there in Jesus' wilderness experience as if to highlight the lonely solitude he was in. No one was there to help Jesus in his battle with Satan's temptations. He faced the enemy alone. This is a type and picture of how we too can sometimes feel that though surrounded by people, we are facing a battle, a test, and a trial on the backside of a lonely wilderness experience. You know, David also faced a charging lion and a roaring bear in the wilderness all alone but for a few sheep. Today we're going to look at how to deal with loneliness in our own wilderness experiences. I believe today's word is going to be a real encouragement for you, so let's go right to today's message, The Wilderness of Loneliness.
I want you to notice that Jesus went through a wilderness. Now, having gone through a wilderness, he was our role model. He's our example. And what Jesus experienced, we will also experience. Doesn't it say that in all points he was tempted like we are, yet he did not sin? So Jesus experienced a wilderness, but he didn't sin in that wilderness. He was mightily tested in the wilderness, like children of Israel were, but the children of Israel failed where our Savior did not. Aren't you glad Jesus did not fail? Amen? He didn't fail. Now, we learn from him. We learn that in the wilderness, you can win, and you can come out of the wilderness stronger than when you went in. I've always taken note that it says the Spirit urged him into the wilderness after he had been water baptized. So he went driven into the wilderness by the Spirit, but he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. So something happened to Jesus in that wilderness experience that increased the anointing on his life, enhanced the power on his life, and he came out of the wilderness and began his ministry. So there's something about that wilderness experience that we need to understand. Now, loneliness is indeed a wilderness place. We live in a lonely world. And when I got to looking at just the very word wilderness, in the Greek, in the New Testament, it comes from a Greek word called eremos, and eremos can be translated a lonely place, a lonely place. So wilderness actually means an isolated, lonely place. And that's what Jesus was sent to. And that's what Israel walked through for 40 years. And that's the kind of place that God led his people to several times in the Old Testament to speak to them, to chisel some things into their character, and prepare them for the days to come. Jesus felt loneliness in that wilderness. He was alone except for desert animals. That's the way some of you feel. You're at home alone except for some dogs, some cats. And you're alone, otherwise your dog's your best friend. And I can understand that. I will always have a dog. Dogs are anointed. Have you ever noticed they are what we ought to be? If you wrong them, they forgive you and lick you anyway. Well, anyway, I'm not going to preach about dogs. I'm here to preach about Jesus. But they are like the Christianity we ought to be practicing sometimes. But now, there's a paradox at work here when you talk about loneliness. Because we live on a lonely planet. There are many people who are lonely, but you got to ask yourself, how could that be? Because our world, for the first time in history, is more connected than it's ever been. We have social media. And with social media, the unbelievable ability to contact anyone, anytime, at any place on the entire planet, we can immediately connect and communicate, yet we're lonely. We've got Facebook, we've got Twitter, we've got email, instant messaging, Skype, blogs, websites, Pinterest, you name it. We should not be lonely. And yet studies have shown that people are feeling lonelier than ever. The instances of people claiming loneliness and alienation to counselors and psychologists is greater than ever. Many of our young people all across the nation, we're in a suicide epidemic with teenagers. And why does a teenager commit suicide? I guarantee you there is one driving reason. They feel lonely. They feel that nobody understands. There's nobody to talk to. Nobody can step into their world and really comprehend their feelings, empathize with their thoughts, and they feel alone. And so do many people. I read a story a while back that really got me. It was a story that a reporter discovered that there were people coming out of this one particular apartment complex and going into a mall. And this reporter, somehow the employees ended up talking to some of these people. And they said, why are you here? Because you never buy anything. They said, we just come to be around people. We're so lonely. We just come to get out of our loneliness. They liked it when employees came up and said, can I help you? And all they wanted was interaction with people, even if it was from an employee saying, what do you want to buy? Loneliness. Loneliness is the feeling that you have that nobody's around. Nobody can understand you. You're very much on your own. Have you ever noticed that you can be around 100 people and still be lonely, but you can be alone and not feel lonely? See, aloneness and loneliness are two different things. Loneliness is a state of mind where the fact that you are alone is really running a number on you, but you can be alone and not be lonely. Yeah, you can be in a school of 5,000 kids or a workplace with hundreds of employees and still feel lonely. Loneliness is a wilderness. It's something you've got to navigate through. It's something you've got to work your way through. Or else the loneliness will destroy you. The story is told of a child saying his evening prayers with his father. The child's mother had died. And the child was expressing how he missed his mother. And the dad said, well, I'm going to try to build his faith and try to talk some faith into him. And so he said, hey, son, but at least God is with us. But the little boy replied, I know, but I want somebody with skin on them. And isn't that true? We can know that God is there, but we just want somebody with skin on them. Somebody who can say, I understand, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere. I get you, I understand you, I empathize with you, and I accept you just the way you are. Now, I want you to remember that Israel went through a long and a lonely wilderness that was very, very isolated, and they went through it way longer than they needed to. Their disobedience put them there for 40 years when they could have easily crossed from the Red Sea to the Promised Land in 2.5 weeks. But what God was trying to teach them, they didn't get. Now, I want to remind you what we've gone over with every one of these messages on the wilderness. And here it is. Paul wrote in the New Testament to you and to me. He said, such things were written in the Bible long ago to teach us that we would learn from them. He says that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. You know, I'm in my Bible every day. If you got your Bible, I want you to grab it and just hold it up. Can you hold up your Bible if you've got it with you? And if you're a member of our church, please start bringing your Bible. If you come to church without a Bible, you came half-dressed. Smile at me. That's just a joke. Some of you are looking real serious at me for saying that. Now, but if you're a member here, and if you're not a member, I understand. Now, hold it up. Say, this is the Word of God to me. Now, say with me, if I want more hope and I want increased faith, I get it right here. Amen? You get it right here. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. See, most of you are going to leave today with your faith increased because I didn't come to tell you what Jeff thinks. I came to tell you what the Bible says about your predicament. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So we're supposed to look at what is chronicled in the Bible about the wilderness wanderings of Israel, and we're supposed to learn from it so that we don't make the same mistakes, so that we are not hindered in our journey like they were hindered, so that we more smoothly walk this walk of faith. So what do we learn from Israel and their wilderness wanderings? Well, first off, we learn the mistakes they made. What mistakes did they make? What made them take 40 years to get into the promised land, and after those 40 years, only 2 out of 1 million got over into the promised land? The rest of them were kept on the other side of the Jordan because of their disobedience. Hey, I don't want to be that hindered in my walk of faith, do you? No. So, here's the deal. What'd they do? What was the mistake they made? It was grumbling, it was mumbling, it was murmuring, and it was complaining. That was the mistake they made. Now, I understand that none of you here today ever complain or murmur. I'm just sharing this with you so you can get the CD and take it to somebody who does. Now, let me put it in a way that you might be able to understand. Israel literally buried themselves with the shovels of their own tongue. Did you know that death and life are in the power of what we say? And isn't it so easy to complain? So easy for your tongue to become a shovel that digs your own grave for you, and you can talk yourself into a hole and talk yourself into depression and talk yourself into disillusionment and talk yourself so low that you don't want to go to church anymore, don't want to pray anymore, don't want to seek God anymore. You're just down. You're complaining. Look what it says, Exodus 16, verse 2. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Their problem was complaining. They murmured, they mumbled, they complained. We wish we had this, we wish we had that. Why don't we have this? Why don't we have that? How come this? How come that? If only this, if only that. Let me share some insight with you. Complaining is something we do instead of listening to what God is seeking to teach us. Did you know that if you're listening, God is talking? How many of you believe that? Do you believe that? If you're listening, God is talking. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, if he's the same as he was yesterday in the first century when he was alive on earth, then what is he doing today? Because he's the same today. Well, do you notice that Jesus was always teaching his disciples? He taught them in the storm. He taught them in the wilderness. He taught them when they were hungry. He was always teaching if they were listening. And it's the same today. I want you to say with me, God wants to talk to me.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you, too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111. Or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us, or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, well, Jeff, you know, I can't hear God. Yes, you can. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Are you God's sheep? If you're one of God's sheep, raise your hand. All right, do you know what Jesus said? You hear his voice. I trust that right now, as I'm sharing the word of God, you're hearing a voice within a voice. You're not just hearing Jeff Wickwire, you're hearing Jesus in my voice sharing his word to you, and you have ears to hear. When you got born again, God gave you a new heart and he gave you new ears. And so every prayer time ought to be ended with listening to God. Listening to God. Complaining is something we do instead of listening to what God is seeking to teach us. Here's what I've learned through the years. I've learned that in every trying, difficult, testing, fiery, valley experience of life, God is wanting to teach Jeff Wickwire if Jeff Wickwire will listen. He's wanting to teach me. And I've noticed one word from God can pick me up on my feet. One word from God can stand me up again. One word from God can put me back into strength. One word from God can heal me. It says he sent his word and healed them. One word from God can stand you up. One word from God can heal you. One word from God can rebuke discouragement off of you. One word from God can get you full of vision again. One word from God can make the difference between night and day, depression and joy. One word from God. And God wants to speak to us. And I've seen that I can either yield to the flesh and complain, or I can say, Lord, help me to understand what you're trying to teach me, and I can listen to the Lord. And when I say, Lord, what are you saying to me? He invariably speaks to my heart. It may be one word, but he's got something to say to me. And that's God's will in the wildernesses of our life. In the wildernesses of our life, he's got something he wants to teach us. Listen to what the Bible says. Yes, he humbled you. This is God talking to the children of Israel about their wilderness. He humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So there's God saying, in your wilderness, the wilderness I led you into, the wilderness that I led Jesus into, he said, I'm wanting to teach you. I've got something to tell you there. I want to put something in your heart, in your spirit, for the day that is coming, for your future. And the wilderness of loneliness was part of God's lesson plan for them. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you listening to God today? Are you listening to God, or are you complaining? Lord, I wish this, I wish that. If only you would this, and if only you would that. And how come you haven't this, and how come you haven't that? And man, if I just had this or had that, I'd be a different person. Listen, here's God's word to you today. Everything you need for your current situation, you've got. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I want to just tell you something today from my heart. God loves you more than you will ever know. He loves you more than I can enunciate, more than I can say, more than I can find the words to communicate to you. God loves you so much that he allowed his only begotten son to hang on a cross and die a criminal's death so he could cover your sins and rise from the dead so that you could also be raised from the dead. And I read this week that the day is coming when all of us who have put our faith in him are going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and we are going to be brought out of the grave into the glorious resurrection life of Christ. That's how much God loves you. He loves you. And he's not being mean, he's not being unfair, he's not being insensitive to your needs. He's not off flinging other stars into space, he's not busy answering the prayers of other more important saints. No, he's totally focused on you. You are God's project right now. He's wanting to build some things into your faith and character that are going to serve you in the days to come. As he told Israel, I led you through all these wilderness experiences to do you good in the end. To do you good. Now, as I talk about loneliness, I'm not going to give you a theologized solution to your loneliness by offering silly, cheap, little, shallow, charismatic, quip responses to you. Like, well, just praise the Lord. You ever want to slap somebody that just told you, well, just praise the Lord? Or how about, well, have stronger faith. And you want to say, hey, my faith is strong and it's stretched to the limit. Don't tell me to have more faith. Or how about this one? Change your confession. How many of you have realized that sometimes deeper things are going on than just a simple little charismatic formula can help you with? Amen? I want to give you some things that I know are real and will help carry you through the wilderness of loneliness, or whatever the wilderness is you're in right now. It's dry. It's difficult. You don't know where to turn, where to go. You've got questions. You've got unanswered needs. You're being pressed to the limit. It seems like everybody around you is being blessed but you. It seems like God's not hearing you and you can't touch him, even though I know he's there. It's a wilderness. I want to give you some things that are real that will help you through. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to focus on loneliness itself, because I could talk about loneliness where all of us are going to leave feeling lonelier than when we came in. I want to encourage you with one simple statement. And here it is. In your loneliness, God is at work in you. Now, I want us to say that together because some of us need to preach ourselves up. Are you ready? Say with me, in my loneliness, God is at work in me. In my wilderness, God is at work in me. Now give the Lord a hand of praise because He is. I know He is. See, I can go through anything if I know that God's working. I can go through any valley, any oven, any difficulty, any trial, any testing. If I can see God's hand, I can go through anything. So in your loneliness, God is at work in you. Here's the verse. It is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is God at work in you. God is working in you. You may not feel it. You may not sense it. You may not know it. You may not be aware of it, but God is at work in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, thinking of that little phrase, God's at work in you in your loneliness, I want to talk about David for a minute. David, the poet, the psalmist, the musician, the warrior, the king, the man after God's own heart. That's David. Now, what made David who he ultimately became, the mighty king of Israel, the giant killer, the warrior, the inspiration for a nation? What made him what he ultimately became was not developed in the fanfare of the palace, but in the isolation and loneliness of a pasture. I'm going to talk about the lonely days of David. Gene Edwards, in his classic book, A Tale of Three Kings, that everybody ought to read, speaks of the isolation of David. He says, David was the youngest son, and the youngest child generally had two distinctions, spoiled and uninformed. In David's day, very little would have been expected of him. He displays fewer characteristics of leadership than his brothers because he never had to lead because he was number 8 of 8 boys. So David was the runt of the litter. And there wasn't anybody that came up after him, so there was nobody to lead. So all he saw was 7 brothers who were leaders, but he was never forced to lead or needed to lead because there was nobody to lead. Now his 7 older sons or brothers worked near and on the father's farm, but not David. David, the youngest, was sent on treks into the mountains to graze the family's small flock of sheep. He was a teenage shepherd. And every day, David would leave home. Picture your little boy or little girl going off to school carrying that sack lunch. David carried something when he left every day to go to the pasture and shepherd the sheep. He carried a little guitar-like instrument. You could call it a harp. You could call it a guitar. For our sake today, we'll call it a guitar. Carrying a little guitar and a sling. And with those two things, he walked out the door. See you, Dad. See you, bros. I'm going to shepherd the sheep. And he would go. Now, when he went, way out into the wilderness. It was lonely. It was alone. It was isolated. And spare time for a shepherd was abundant. The sheep would graze for days in the green meadow. And as days became weeks, David became very lonely. Do you know what it would be like to be a teenager full of energy? Man, there's nobody to hang around with, no place to do, no girlfriends, no nothing, no Xbox, no social media, no computer, no TV, no basketball court. And do you know that watching sheep eat grass all day, every day, day in and day out is about as exciting as watching paint dry? So there he is out there. He's gifted. He's smart. He's full of energy, but he's isolated. He's alone. No one's around him. Nobody's there. He became lonely. Friendlessness, the feeling of it, rose up within him. I really do believe knowing people, shooting honestly about it, there were likely times that David literally wept from isolation. Is this what my life is all about as a teenager, 15, 16, 17 years old? I'm watching these sheep eat day in and day out. I'm sleeping under the stars at night. Nobody's around, nobody to talk to, nobody to share with. I am lonely. How has God brought this about in my life?
Thanks for listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111, or you can pick it up at our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's 877-884-3111 or the website lifetalkradio.us. And while you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff on our Listen page. You can also sign up to get our e-devotionals, ministry updates, our exclusive Life Talk listener emails, and a whole lot more. We'll even send you a free gift just for signing up. And be sure to check out the resource page, as it's packed with so many things we know you'll be interested in. Again, the website is lifetalkradio.us, or call us at 877-884-3111. One last thing. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Life Talk is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift at the partner page on our website, lifetalkradio.us, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Life Talk.